This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Why We Need Friends, Especially Now. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Many friendships fizzle out sort of naturally. You see each other less and less, and then not at all. No hard feelings, some fond memories, and an occasional, hey, how are you? We need to catch up kind of message. But some friendships end with a massive blow up. Steph Yin looked into why that can feel so painful.
Maria, this letter might end up seeming harsh or drastic.
This is Maria. They're an artist living in Philadelphia, and they want us to just use their first name. One night last August, as Maria was winding down for the day, they got an email from their friend. Let's call her Pam.
I need to cut you off because of emotional stress it's been causing me and my health. I need to stop surrounding myself with people that are toxic. I've had to shut my mouth for the last 7 years.
Maria did not see this coming.
I was like shaking. I could not wrap my head around it. Out of the blue, and I was just really not even thinking that that's what it was going to be about. It was like a nightmare.
The letter went on and on, picking apart things Maria had said or posted online, even the name they chose for their dog.
There are very specific things taken from all 7 years of our friendship. You know, it goes back really far, and then like goes into like just very much attacking me. In different ways.
Before this, Maria considered Pam a really close friend.
We really could talk about, like, emotional stuff. So I do feel like we kind of got to, like, a deeper place a little quicker.
The friends lived together for 3 years of art school. The summer after graduating, they both stayed in Baltimore, where they went to school, and spent a lot of time together. It was a carefree period. They'd go to parks or hang out at their place and talk about the future or problems in their love lives.
We were like 21 at that point, so we could just go casually buy wine, which was like cool and new, you know, to just like hang out in our house and drink wine.
After college, Maria and Pam grew apart a bit. Maria noticed it became harder to find time for each other. Still, the fact that Pam seemed to have felt so differently about their friendship for years, it really took Maria off guard. How does this kind of thing happen?
There are not going to be tons of lifelong friends that we take along for the 70, 80, 90 years we're on this earth.
Suzanne Deggs-White is a professor of counseling at North Illinois University who studies how friendship changes over time. She says it's normal for us to lose friends as life evolves. Friendships are particularly brittle around transitions. Leaving home, going from college to young adulthood, partnering up, having kids. Each time your circumstances change, you kind of look around and take stock, intentionally or not.
You know, is this a friendship I want to keep investing in? Is it someone who I value? Or is it really a friendship that I need to let go?
It makes sense, because we all have limited time and energy. Researchers have even tried to quantify those limits.
There's a number called Dunbar's number.
Named after Robin Dunbar, a British anthropologist. It's not a hard and fast rule. After all, how do you quantify something as complex as friendship? But Dunbar suggested humans can comfortably maintain stable relationships with about 150 people.
Who you see, you know, at work, you see in your organizations you belong to, you see at spin class.
But these aren't close friends. With close friends, the ones you feel deep affection for and intimately trust and are actively supporting, the number at any given time is much lower.
In my research, I found that people who are the most happy have around 3 to 5 friends. Really, I think that's all we have the energy to support. So it's really, friendships are about growth, dynamism, and realizing that they're going to ebb and flow.
Still, most friendship endings happen as a gradual fade or fizzle, not necessarily a permanent rupture or a dramatic breakup letter. But Jan Yeager, a sociologist and friendship coach in Connecticut, says plenty of people do reach a breaking point, either because of a singular event, a major breach of trust, or because of an accumulation of little betrayals and misunderstandings, like one person not reciprocating or constantly flaking, or someone feeling disrespected again and again.
I use the term crossing the line. You know, it just is a line someone's crossed, and it's very hard for the friend who feels betrayed to emotionally forgive the friend.
Jan says sometimes cooling off and direct communication can help. That's what we do with our romantic partners. Long-term intimate relationships don't tend to end out of nowhere. We have multiple conversations, put in lots of effort to try to work things out. For some reason, we don't do the same with our friends.
There's this narrative out there that friendships should just flow, that it should just be easy, and that we shouldn't necessarily need to communicate about the difficult things or experiences that we're having.
That's Miriam Kermeyer, a clinical psychologist in Montreal. She says there are some social expectations that friends should just be fun or polite with each other, that we shouldn't be, quote unquote, too much with friends.
People are often very hesitant to have those conversations with their friends to say, look, I've noticed that we're growing apart, or here's what I'm finding difficult, or here are what my needs are, and here are the ways that I'm not feeling as though those are being met. And I see that people overestimate the likelihood of those conversations going badly or poorly, when really those can often be a means not just for problem solving, but for closeness.
Miriam does think writing a letter can be helpful. She often encourages her clients to do that, but she tells them not to actually send the letter.
Ultimately, I think the goal of those kinds of letters should either be to process our own feelings and decide that we're okay with the place that we're in, or allow us to prepare to have those difficult conversations and come into it feeling as though we know what we want to say, we know where we stand, and we know what our hopes are.
When Pam sent her letter to Maria, she gave explicit instructions for Maria not to respond. To Maria, it seemed like Pam had no faith that the two of them could work things out. And that didn't feel like how friends should treat each other.
A huge part of this letter that was such a shock and so hard for me was that nothing had been talked about, and I just feel like the friendship could have been salvaged if we maybe had talked about it.
I recapped the situation between Maria and Pam to Shayna Ali, a mental health counselor in Florida. I told her how Maria did not at all see this coming. Shayna said a couple things could be happening here.
The first is it because you were not attentive to the relationship that maybe there were hints provided, maybe the friend provided effort in addressing this with you and you may have missed those signs?
This isn't to place blame, Shayna says, but just to consider that one person may have thought the signs were clear and the other person totally missed them. Or the letter really could have come out of nowhere. Shayna says sometimes people quote-unquote ghost because they fear conflict, and jumping ship just seems like the easy way out. In reality, ghosting can be painful and anxiety-inducing on both ends. Shayna says if you're thinking of ending things with a friend, it's worth really thinking through it.
Take a moment and step back.
She says it doesn't have to get nasty. Think about the entirety of your relationship and remember that your friend is human and complex. When you zoom out, does the good outweigh the bad? If the friendship goes way back, are there memories you would miss sharing with someone?
Could you be missing some of these other times that the friend has been there for you, that has supported you, that has stood up for you?
Also, think about your own role. Is there anything you could have done differently? In the end, you might still decide to end the friendship, but you'll have started down a path of reflection and processing. And if the relationship was meaningful to you, there will be a grieving process.
In order to heal through it, you have to go through it. So you'd have to really acknowledge the amount of pain that came from it and the misunderstanding, the disrespect, the pain. Then you can heal through it.
For Maria, it took some time to get over the letter.
Many mornings, I just like wake up thinking about it and then be like, oh yeah, it is real.
In the following weeks, Maria checked in with close friends, asked, did any of this letter resonate with them?
I didn't want to take this letter and immediately become defensive and not believe that there was any truth to it.
Maria's friends were supportive, even got angry at Pam. Those conversations helped put Maria at ease. They also had a past experience to draw from with another friend named Megan. Maria and Megan had a super close relationship that hit a rocky period a few years ago. But the friends kept chipping away, trying to talk about the things that were driving them apart, even though it was hard. They initiated a weekly dinner to make sure they spent quality time together. And eventually, it worked. On a recent afternoon, I met up with the friends at Maria's home in West Philly.
One of the things that really solidified our friendship was that butts and guts workout class.
Do you remember that?
Butts and gut.
Megan says her friendship with Maria is deeper today because they fought for it.
I think it's like the thing where like going through a conflict and actually working through it makes you stronger and closer. And I think now I'm like, yeah, we can deal with anything. You know, and like
we can call each other out more.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. Okay, when we really need that real, like, fully emotional support, it's each other.
Mm-hmm. How would you characterize your friendship today?
I like to say that we're friendship soulmates.
Best friends forever. That's literally the first thing that came to my mind. No, I think we are very strong.
We know each other's dog preferences.
Yep, we know what types of ears.
Yeah,
we like tails. The best.
I'll be like, Megan will really like that dog tail, and I'll take a picture and send it to her.
Oh my god, Maria's dog from home, Holly, her tail is like long hair, and so when she wags it, it's like a waterfall. It like shimmers, and it like...
For the Pulse, I'm Steph Yin.